From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. For many children across the country, today is the first day of school. 50 years ago today, the governor of Arkansas ordered state National Guardsmen to stop 9 black students from entering Central High School in Little Rock. Weeks later, President Eisenhower ordered U.S. Army troops to escort the 9 children into the school. During the coming weeks, News and Notes will bring you our own original reports on this important civil rights anniversary. But we'd also like your help. Please visit our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and tell us your personal stories if you were involved in desegregating your local school. And regardless of who you are, we'd like to hear your reflections on this historic event. Today's news proves we're still wrestling with many issues of race and social justice. Lots of us spent Labor Day kicking back with a glass of iced tea and waving goodbye to summer. But if you stopped to get fast food at the drive-thru or spent a night at a motel, your weekend plans may have relied on the work of some of America's low-income employees. A disproportionate number of them are African-American. That's according to a new study from the Center for Labor Research and Education at the University of California, Berkeley. And for more, we've got the study's lead author, Dr. Stephen Pitts. Hi, Dr. Pitts.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Now, there have been so many studies about low-income workers. What makes yours different?
Well, I think one thing that we saw in the course of our study is that oftentimes when people frame the question of jobs in the black community and look at the problems there, there's a focus on the question of unemployment. And what we found in our study is that there's really a two-dimensional problem on jobs in the black community, both the issue of unemployment, the very real problem there. There's also a very real problem of low-wage jobs. But if you think about a lot of the activity that goes on in the black community, it focuses on job training. But job training doesn't really address the issue of blacks who have jobs, whose jobs need to be improved. So I think one important element of the study is to kind of broaden the focus to go beyond unemployment to also look at the question of low-wage work.
So give us a brief thumbnail sketch of the average person or a typical person you're talking about.
Well, we found that about a third of all black workers in 2000 worked in three basic industries: retail trade, so McDonald's, Walmart, Target, the mall. They may work in healthcare, whether it be in a hospital or home healthcare industry. They may work in hotels. If you look at those three industries, as I said, they employ about a third of black workers. A large majority of those workers have low-wage jobs. We use a cutoff of $12.87 per hour. And we found in retail, say the malls, whatever, about 73% of black workers there have low wages. In healthcare, around 61%. In hospitality, hotels, around 80%. So you have a lot of people who are working now, who are working full-time, actually, but simply have low-paying jobs.
Now, what role, if any, does discrimination play in this kind of parsing out of who gets to work in low-wage jobs?
I think you have two things that are happening that are kind of intertwined. On the one hand, you do have that a lot of the jobs that are growing in this country, and what I call place-based, they're stuck in this country, they won't be outsourced, so we aren't going to Beijing to go to McDonald's. Those sort of place-based kind of industries are growing very rapidly, and those are larger low-wage jobs. Yeah, that's the kind of the basic context. And then you layer on top of that issue of racism in terms of employer preferences for non-blacks, in terms of slotting a certain job and other jobs, in terms of not having blacks in jobs or career ladders. And so it's a combination of both basic racism today, historical racism, but also the nature of the economy that we face with today as well.
Now, you could argue that to avoid getting a job at McDonald's, you just need to stay in school, get an education. So is this really a question of individual responsibility, not a question of some grand plan that other people are imposing on low-income workers?
Really not. I mean, people should stay in school and understand certain things. It's not even a question. That's to be the bottom line, what responsibility people do undertake. But the reality is that if you look at the future growth in this country, and you examine what I call those place-based industries, industries that probably are not threatened by outsourcing, many of those jobs are low-wage jobs. Somebody will work in retail jobs. As long as they're being created, somebody will work in those jobs. It doesn't matter what sort of training people have coming out of school. Somebody will have those jobs, even in the ideal world. If we got every single person in this country a PhD, you still have the retail jobs. You still have jobs in hotels. And somebody will do those jobs. So it's both things that need to be addressed. We need to make sure that people do take their own personal responsibilities. But beyond that, and the fact that we tend to ignore, is we need to improve the options people have when they finish their training. And that's why I want to hope that hopefully we can focus on a bit more.
Just briefly, fair wage, legislation? Should there be fair wage local legislation instead of just minimum wage?
This should be, as you know, here in San Francisco, we actually have a higher minimum wage than the state and federal level. That's an example.
Looks like you've been attacked by an emergency vehicle, but just briefly.
Okay. Still safely, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. So that would be one useful tool. Also in San Francisco, people pass what's called a sick day ordinance, so we require firms to provide sick days. You know, in Chicago, city council passed a big box ordinance, which would have required for all retailers above a certain size to pay a certain wage and to provide certain benefits. Those are examples of laws that we pass at the local level that can improve the quality of jobs.
All right, Dr. Pitts, we want to thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Dr. Stephen Pitts is a labor specialist with the Center for Labor Research and Education at the University of California, Berkeley.